Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Inventories are down across the whole country, and if you find the house that you like, you want to make sure that you compete with the best offers out there, and the best offer from a seller's perspective remains cash as usual. So call Home Mortgage today at 633-3700 for personalized, customized, what we like to call knock your socks off service. And check out that low rate guarantee. That's absolute guarantee. Certain restrictions do apply, but please check for details on our website or check with Hunt Mortgage at 633-3700. And don't forget the first ever 24/7 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale here in our community and all across upstate and even out to Phoenix, Arizona. Simply dial 716-631-4800. Enter the street number of the house you want to know about, no matter whose listing it is. And the hotline will prompt you with a choice of street names. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that property. That's all automatic and just that fast, anytime in any market we serve on any listing, whether it's ours or any other broker's. We have a very active market out there, as I mentioned earlier, and I encourage you to consider the options that are available to you today, given the fact that there are a great number of people interested in buying homes here in Western New York, and it's a very popular marketplace today, mainly because of, among other things, there's a momentum in our community, which we'll be talking about today, and also the fact that we remain one of the most affordable communities in the United States. And if you do have a home to sell and you're thinking about buying another one, you'll want to talk to a Hunt Real Estate ERA agent, because they can look you in the eye and say this to you, which no one else can, and that is that we will sell your home or ERA will buy it. That's the seller security plan. And you can find out about more about by going to our website or calling 633-9400 or stopping into one of our many open houses this weekend. And Hunt Real Estate is the official relocation and real estate provider for our hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, and Rochester Americans. Go Sabres, 3 wins in a row, 2 shutouts. That's pretty phenomenal. Just in time for the All-Star break, so they'll lose their momentum. Hopefully they'll keep it up for next Tuesday night's game here at home. We are live here at WBEN 930 AM, and if you'd like to speak with us here on the air, have any question about real estate or what we'll be talking about today, you can reach us here in the studio at 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236 if you're long distance, and star 930 if you're mobile, and those are all free calls, and join us here on the air at Our House. We have a very special show for you today. Back in the studio after a considerable delay, or time gap, I should say, is Mr. J.P. Bach. Mr. Bach is the chairman and CEO of Bach, I want to get the name of the company right. Bach USA.
Correct.
Beautiful. Okay. Also in the studio with us today is Samantha Pierce, who is the PR specialist with Bach USA. Good morning, JP, and good morning, Samantha.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here. You know, there's a lot of talk these days, JP, about bringing manufacturing back to the United States. You're way ahead of the curve. Give us a little background, a little history, how you got here. When our listeners hear your accent, they'll know you're not from Cheektowaga.
So maybe Tonawanda.
maybe a distant Tonawanda. Yeah. I'm not sure the one north of us here, but give us a little background on J.P. Bach and how you got here.
Okay, I'm originally, not originally, but I was born in Copenhagen, mm-hmm. grew up there, and I studied law and became an attorney. And I met my wife. She was another attorney, and we had a wonderful life in Copenhagen. We shared a law firm. We got children, and I thought my life was great. Until my wife said, "I think we should fulfill our dream of moving to America."
Really?
And I said, "Really? I mean, we are attorneys. How can we create a job or a living for ourselves in America? We cannot practice law." But she was persistent, so. She said, you have to find out how to do that. So I started looking at investments, and finally, after 6 months where we were looking, we found a very interesting investment in New York, where we bought a company actually located in New York.
New York City?
New York City. Mm-hmm. And it was working with Washington, D.C. and the U.S. military and a couple of universities, mm-hmm. and it was extremely exciting. So we spent some time in New York City, then we moved the company to California in Santa Barbara, where we lived for 10 years, a terrible life, you can
imagine.
Terrible,
awful place to be.
And we were not in a hurry. From the moment we arrived in Santa Barbara, we thought we had all the time in the world to build a company. And it took us 10 years where we finally produced a little microchip that is used by the U.S. military back then, that was used by military back then. And at one point, we sold that company because we thought we would like to be retired. And that was not really us. We looked at each other, and we looked at the Pacific Oceans, and we had a great time. We thought, but I want to get back in the real life. And this is where the earthquake happened in Haiti.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we decided to dedicate the next part of our life to do something good, paying back the wonderful life we have been given by our parents, and the upbringing in Copenhagen was, I mean, a dream world, and the world in Santa Barbara was unrealistic, beautiful and nice. So we thought now it's time for us to kind of be real and go and do something for other people. That's what we decided to do in Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
And Haiti turned out to be a breaking point, not only for us, my wife and myself, but for our children. They came to Haiti, Eva and Christian. And they, by the way, they are working with us now here in Buffalo. So the circle is kind of complete. But in Haiti, we got the idea to start building computers.
Mm-hmm.
We thought that would be a great idea for the Haitians, an opportunity to create jobs, because it creates a lot of labor, mm-hmm. to put together computers. So we invested in a factory. We built a factory in Port-au-Prince, and that factory actually exists today.
Wow.
And it's very successful, but belongs to the Haitian, mm-hmm. Partners now. So we could not stay in Haiti forever. We wanted to go back to the United States. So at one point we transferred the ownership of the company to our local partners. But at that time it was a profitable business, even though it was not the idea.
Hmm.
The idea was to create jobs.
Sure.
But by an accident we turned profitable, and that turned out to be a good thing, because without being profitable you are not sustainable.
That's right.
As one of my my main focus is on what we are doing. We want to combine the non-profit idea and the spirit with a profit or for-profit operation that still put priority to people and the environment and to be a good citizen and so forth. And we left Haiti and we looked at places in the United States and said, can we really repeat what we did in Haiti, which was a miracle. It's one of the few factories in Haiti today in technology. So we said, if we can do it in Haiti, we should be able to do it in America. And after having looked at several places, we were in Detroit, we were in Cleveland, we were many places where we thought there might be a need for job creation. Buffalo, we fell in love with Buffalo from
really?
The moment we came here, yeah.
What struck you most?
Oh, that was people.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that this is something we tell each other in Buffalo, that we is all about good neighbors and so forth. But we are right. In the beginning, when we came, people said to us, why Buffalo? And I could feel that people couldn't really understand why on earth could these people that lived in Santa Barbara pick Buffalo? And it was an easy choice, not only because of the people, and that was the people we met from the university,
mm-hmm.
University of Buffalo, from back then Buffalo Niagara Enterprise, mm-hmm. now it's called Invest,
yes.
Buffalo,
yes, sir.
Niagara, and we met people from the from the local government, the mayor, and Mr. Polenkars, the Erie County. Mm-hmm. Director, and we felt that these people really had the heart for incoming activities. So we were embraced by Buffalo. And it took us from March, I think, to end of the year.
What year?
2013, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's 3 years ago, so time is running. You have to help me out. 3 years ago, when was that?
Sure. 2014.
14. Yeah,
okay.
Okay. So we actually, we are up and running within a year. Wow. From the first time we stepped into to the Buffalo environment, which is extremely fast.
For manufacturing, it is.
For manufacturing, it is, absolutely. And we are celebrating February 1st this year, our 3 years anniversary.
Wow.
And we have more than 110 people working now.
It's tremendous.
And we have a turnover of less than 2%, which is fabulous.
That's amazing.
And we take that as, this is probably one of the informations I'm most proud of, that we have that low turnover.
What do you attribute that, JP?
I think we create a family environment. We are family. My wife, myself, Christian, and Eva, our son and daughter, work every day in the factory, and people have a feeling that this is one big family. We have a lot of refugees. We have a lot of Americans that did not really make it in life before they were hired by us. They couldn't present school papers that was impressive enough to get a job, but it was good enough for us, because for us it's a matter of the person and the passion, and if the person have the skill set to do the job, mm-hmm. Build the computers. And the other hand, we have probably some of the country's most bright engineers in software, hardware. We have people in marketing. We have we have the best people in sales. There we go for the best school papers. And we get people from Hong Kong, from Silicon Valley, from Texas, from all over the world, Canada, that come to Buffalo because they want to work with us.
I bet our listeners are wondering what exactly you're manufacturing. So,
oh, yeah.
go into some detail about what you produce here.
Okay, what we are producing laptops for schools. That is our main product, we distribute that to school systems throughout the nation through the Microsoft network. We are not selling directly to the schools. They are. First, they have been presented to our products, the laptops, by Microsoft's sales reps, and the schools then place an order with Microsoft, and we fulfill it. But from that moment that the order has been fulfilled, we are part of that school's ecosystem. We are very close to our customers in Orange County, Detroit school system, in Texas, Florida, mm-hmm. all over. We don't have too many sales in Buffalo, though, but this is probably the irony of being in a smaller place. The big market for us is California and the Detroit school system, as I said, and mm-hmm. a lot in Florida and Texas.
Do you distribute overseas?
We do. But this is a different distribution network. We are participating in tenders. And we won a couple of tenders for United Nations for Africa last year. We are shortlisted to a tender for Ethiopia this year,
wow.
where they are supposed to buy 140,000 laptops for their census in 2018. We are participating in tenders in Egypt, and we are shortlisted there, and they are actually testing our laptops educational system in Egypt, and we have the hope that we will be one of their preferred vendors to the entire school system in Cairo.
There are dozens of computer manufacturers around the world. How do you distinguish yourself, and how do you compete in that, particularly when most of the computers today are made in foreign countries?
Yeah, you can say by far most.
Yes.
Actually, I don't even know some computers, but there must be somebody beside us. I think that the made in USA, which we are not allowed to say, by the way, because the law require made in USA is entirely all the components, but built in USA, that's what we can say. It's a strong, strong sales, what can I say, motivation. Mm-hmm. And also the mere fact that we are producing affordable laptops and tablets, which is part of our mission. We have two missions. We want to employ people, and we want to provide affordable devices for the most vulnerable people in the world. We want to be part of the closing the digital gap. Also, we are producing rocket laptops and tablets as an affordable price, which is unusual. Whenever it's rocket, which means that you can drop it on the floor and you can spill coffee and so forth, our competitors cost at least the double as what we are doing. Yeah. And on top of that, it's actually produced here in the United States by people that need a job. So you would think we should be more expensive. But our secret sauce is that we have developed not only nice products, but we have the most advanced production procedure in the world today.
How do you know that, just out of curiosity?
Simply because we are traveling China, we are traveling Asia, we are looking at how other companies are doing it, and we have developed a particular lab where our technicians, the people that build our laptops and tablets, we call them technicians because they are building the entire thing. We don't have an assembly line, but we have five people sitting in a round table. And in the middle, we have a cobot. A cobot is a friendly robot, which means it doesn't eat people's jobs, but it helps the people to do the trivial stuff. And the combination of that cobot we have developed with Buffalo Manufacturing Works, again, a great thing to be in Buffalo, and with Kawasaki in Japan, we have a patent pending, and we know that this is the most advanced way of producing electronic devices in the world. And the secret sauce, as I said, is by doing that, we can compete with China. By doing that, we can pay more in labor to our people and still be competitive to Asia and Japan and South Korea and China.
Samantha Pierce is as the PR specialist. How do you, to whom do you take this message and how?
So, you know, we've got a really great story, Peter, and a really great message. So the last year, 2017, was all about making Buffalo aware of Back USA and who we are and what we're doing right downtown, you know, building devices and two-in-one laptops and these ruggedized tablets. You know, 2018 for us is going to be about making Back USA known and felt on a national level. And so, you know, some of our primary audiences are going to be the ed technology or the education technology market. And then for the ruggedized tablet, you know, it's interesting because that device is applicable to so many different industries. And so, you know, we're kind of putting it out there and seeing where it's sticks. But 2018 for us is going to be about going national and really making, you know, the rest of the United States know that we're here and we're making these tablets right here in Buffalo, New York.
I have to ask you, JP, you know, we've done a lot of analysis of the competitiveness of our state and our community and the need really that most, particularly in the real estate world, that most developers and participants in the advancement and momentum of this community, what they cite as a need to really have the cooperation and, in fact, in many cases, the financial participation of the government or at various levels in order to make something happen here. Was that the case with Back USA?
Only indirectly, because we were invited by Governor Cuomo to be part of the Startup New York program, which many people think includes a nice grant. Unfortunately, not. It is a much more advanced program because it wants to build the bridge between the university and the local community and companies and so forth. Mm-hmm. But it's only a tax exempt we have in 10 years, and you can calculate when you start a business. When do you really start thinking about tax? That is far down the road. But on the other hand, it was a welcoming gesture, and we felt that we were part of something. from the very beginning. The Startup New York program has been extremely helpful to us, but not as far as investment. We were self-financing until we got a nice investment from Tom Golisano, the founder of Paychex and the former owner of Sabres.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw the opportunity, how he, with his financial power, could make a company like Back USA really grow and be competitive. And we have a financial backup today that is outstanding, considering we are 3 years old startup. And that's part of the reason why we had that success, because we can actually afford to do the right thing. We don't have this, we need to have some income now, and that's it.
Well, it's a fascinating story, and we're going to come back with more with J.P. Bach at Bach USA after these very important messages.
If you're a homeowner age 62 or older, you owe it to yourself to look into a reverse mortgage. Reverse mortgages give seniors many different options to access the equity in their home. There's even a reverse mortgage for purchase available. For more information, call Karen Johnson, a reverse mortgage specialist at Hunt Mortgage, at 633-3700 or visit huntmortgage.com. Karen Johnson, NMLS number 485939. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com. This is a very interesting discussion we're having today with J.P. Bach, and we'll be back to that in just a second here, but I want to remind everybody that HuntRealEstate.com makes it real easy for you to enjoy the real estate and home ownership experience. It is the only place on the web where you can find a complete inventory of homes available here in Buffalo, Niagara, Rochester, Syracuse, Watertown, Albany, all the towns in between, as well as out to Phoenix, Arizona. And you'll also find access to a complete set of home ownership services at huntrealestate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. And for more information about our many exclusive programs, including the one that allows you to roll the cost of home improvements into your mortgage, allowing you to effectively buy the before and live the after, call 633-3700 and ask for details, and also ask about our pre-purchase commitment that effectively allows you to enter the market with cash because you have a commitment, not a pre-approval like everybody in the financing world will tell you. This is a commitment. All you need is the house. So get that pre-purchase commitment first. Go out armed into the marketplace with that, and you'll have a much better experience. And even our warm home loan as well, which is a little surprise. Call us at 633-3700. And if you've got a general question or a specific question about anything relative to real estate, call the Hunt ERA Customer Service Center, the only one of its kind in North America, 716-633-9400. One of our customer service reps will either answer your question right there or direct you to the appropriate professional for your particular needs, whether you're considering buying or selling a home, financing a home, insuring a home, or even fixing up the one you have. And remember, our guarantee stands. As I mentioned earlier, we will sell your home or ERA will buy it. That's a seller security plan available only through a Hunt Real Estate ERA agent. As I mentioned, we're in the studio today with J.P. Bach from Bach USA. He is the chairman and CEO, and also his PR specialist is here with us, and that is Ms. Samantha Pierce. And we've been talking about a most interesting process that's taking place right here in Buffalo, and that's the creation of a new manufacturing facility, which of course, is in the news all over the place today, JP, as we watch our president over in Davos at the World Economic Conference. And I wonder what your reaction is to that. When you see, what struck me is that as I listened to the European the executives from various European companies, and the president is trying to convince them to bring their manufacturing, their build facilities in the United States, invest in the United States. And they talked about Alabama and Texas and all the states. New York wasn't mentioned once that I heard, and I was listening very carefully. Mm-hmm. Yet you chose New York, and you told us why earlier. But that's a fairly subjective answer you gave us. And then you layered on top of that the Startup New York thing. I've had Howard Zemsky on here to talk about Startup New York and other things, Buffalo Billion, that kind of thing. And I also mentioned in the first segment about the fact that most people sitting in that chair, when we talk about what they're doing, there is an element of government cooperation, support in one way, shape, or form, just because of a number of things. Number one, that in the real estate world, to bring something to market is more costly than the market will bear in terms of lease rates, rents, that kind of thing. So there has to be some kind of participation. The most common form is the historic tax credits, which allow you to monetize. It's a long story, but the fact of life is it allows you to bring that product in at market rates. The other, in the manufacturing world, what we hear regularly is that the onerous regulations in this state, the cost of labor in this state, make it very uncompetitive vis-a-vis other states. Yet you still chose New York State, and you chose Buffalo in particular. Did you find those things to be uncompetitive element, or did you just work around them, or did you just put out a blank piece of paper and say, we're going to just do our own thing?
I would say that overall, it's extremely difficult to do business in the United States.
In the United States?
Yeah,
the whole
United
country.
States. And in the new state of New York, when you are trying to do what we are trying to do. Because, first of all, by far, most of the value creation in the production is done here in the United States, even though we buy components from outside, but the by far most of the procedures is done here in the United States. Even though that's the fact, we're not allowed to take advantage of putting on a product made in the United States of America. And this is one of the reasons why people scratch their head in Europe and Asia and say, why on earth should we start business in the United States if we cannot benefit from the brand?
Right.
Made in USA is probably the most valuable brand in the world. And we are not allowed, and you go and see our facility, you will say they build computers and laptops in Buffalo, in United States. You will testify that. But the mere fact that we buy the components from overseas doesn't allow us to take advantage of that made in USA thing. And the president, with his different activities and efforts, he supports the bringing back the jobs to the United States. I disagree with him on one point here. I don't think we should bring back jobs to the United States because they left. And these jobs, we don't want them back. That was the way manufacturing was in 2001 when we exported the manufacturing to overseas.
Is it strictly a labor issue?
It's a labor issue. And we have recreated the manufacturing process in a way so it's attractive. So it is something that people, even young people, want to achieve in life. We cannot study law or medicine, all of us, and we cannot be real estate.
Right.
Some people should actually go into manufacturing, but it has been a downgraded job environment.
Is this what people refer to when they say advanced manufacturing?
That's exactly right, advanced manufacturing. But we go that step further, and that we put the manufacturing operation on the fifth floor or fourth floor now, but with a nice view of Buffalo. I mean, this is important that people that do the manufacturing feel that they are important for the whole ecosystem. We are actually using everyday products that have been manufactured by somebody.
Right.
And without that, we could not exist. So I want to upgrade that, and I want young people to think, I would like to be in the manufacturing. So we have a lot of school coming in. We have a lot of people that come and see how attractive it is to be a part of our production facility. But, of course, it's a matter of words, bringing jobs back or creating
right.
jobs. But I think that the mere fact that you are not allowed to benefit from your investment in the United States by saying, I did invest in the United States and my product is made in the United States, that stopped.
That's just
a lot of companies in Europe and Asia to come here. Why should they?
That's just legalese, though, isn't it?
It's what?
Just legalese. It's just a phrase.
Oh, it's an old, obsolete definition when the world was not global. It is impossible, no matter what you are dealing with.
A Chevrolet is not made in the United States that standard.
Nothing is made in the United States. But I could also say nothing is maybe really made in Japan, in any country, in Germany.
That's right.
But in comparison to us, if we produce in, we have a factory in Germany, we're allowed to say made in Germany, even though the components come from outside.
Then it's just a legal phrase.
It's just, but it's actually a huge marketing benefit.
Of course,
if you could use that, and if I should say one thing to the president, I would say call your agency and tell them that is not relevant in 2018 to talk about where the different components come from.
Samantha Pierce, as a PR specialist, this is a complex story. So you know, we talked about what you were taking out and when, that kind of thing, a little earlier. But how do you take everything that JP has said here and deliver a message to the world that they can digest? I mean, just taking that made in USA, you can digest that, but people don't understand what's behind it.
Yeah, we've got a lot of we've got a really great marketing team, Peter. So everything that we do is in-house, and we put a lot of energy behind showing people what that means, not just telling them. We want to show them our facility. We open our doors, we give tours, and we do a lot of behind-the-scenes video of capturing what that process actually looks like, because we want, we don't want to just say it. We want people to see exactly what we're doing. We're very transparent. If you come to our offices, you'll see that. We have glass buildings and glass walls on our floors, and, it's an open office environment because, we've got nothing to hide. Mm-hmm. Everything is done right here in America, and the phrase made in America, it's kind of what people, when you say made in America, people, the average consumer doesn't know the difference between made in America and built in America. So it's, like you said, it's really just legalese. But we go above and beyond. Of course, we say built in America, but we go above and beyond to show people exactly how we do it so that they really understand.
Well, this is I wish you the best in trying to convey that message. But it seems like it's almost I know you mentioned the power of that phrase, and I buy into that. But the fact of life is, there's a real American story here. Even though you're Danish, it's an American story.
Absolutely, it's American. I'm an American citizen, which is important.
It's very important,
oh, yeah.
And a very valued thing, as we see.
I'm very proud.
You should be, and I am too. Having been born here, I always remind myself that, one of the best things that ever happened to me was an accident of birth. Beyond that, it's all a bonus. I have to make it a bonus, I should say. But the you've talked about a bunch of things. We have to go to break in just a few seconds. But you talked about labor and skills and this issue of advanced manufacturing. When we come back from break, I want you to talk about the relationship to the university, because that's one of the key things in the Startup New York thing. And we haven't been able to find a lot of real good examples. And as I've been searching around to bring on this show to talk about how our university really interacts with gentlemen like you. And we'll be right back with more from Our House to Yours after these important messages.
If you're a homeowner age 62 or older, you owe it to yourself to look into a reverse mortgage. Reverse mortgages give seniors many different options to access the equity in their home. There's even a reverse mortgage for purchase available. For more information, call Karen Johnson, a reverse mortgage specialist at Hunt Mortgage, at 633-3700 or visit huntmortgage.com. Karen Johnson, NMLS number 485939. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. Go there today. Check out our now multiple algorithms. If you want to know about the value of any home, not just your own, there's only one place to go, because you can look at three different valuation methodologies that will give you the opportunity to cross-tabulate really what's going on from various perspectives from a technological standpoint to see what the influences are that are affecting value on your home or any home. And it's the most comprehensive tool available in the marketplace today, only available at huntrealestate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate, ERA across upstate and out to Phoenix, Arizona. I'm in the studio today with J.P. Bach, who is the chairman and CEO of Bach USA, and also with us today is Samantha Pierce, who is the PR specialist with Bach USA. And we've been talking about a wide range of topics relative to the business that Mr. Bach has created here with his wife and now son and daughter,
yes,
which is great, as well as 110 others,
yes,
in the office. But before we come back to what I asked you about before the break, JP, we do have a couple callers on the line. The first one is Gustav from Williamsville, who wants to talk about free trade. Gustav, how can we help you?
Well, thank you. I'm just curious if your guests are in favor of total free trade or tariffs, and to what degree they're participating in any of the political discussion about these subjects.
Thank you for that question. First of all, we are not participating in any kind of political activities. That's important because we are here to create jobs and we are here to make affordable devices available for schools and so forth. We are not part of a political discussion. But for us, it's of course important that there's not a lot of obstacles when we import components and when we export the final devices. And so far, there's no such obstacles that has any influence on our business. Whether we should overall be part of all these trade arrangements and help other countries that might need the help of the United States, that's a different story. And I think that it's important for the United States to lead that effort and to make sure, for example, a country like Haiti, there, where I did a lot of business myself, that we help countries like that. And by doing that, we actually help ourselves because we create a better world.
And a better partner.
Someone
with whom we can trade.
Yeah, absolutely.
So back to the advanced manufacturing issue and the relationship to the university. This has been, there's a lot of talk about this stuff, but it's a necessary component of Startup New York, is it not? And how do you address that? To whom do you have to report in terms of the actual presence of that relationship, and how does it manifest itself?
Okay, when we came to United States in the first place, my wife and I, we started working with universities. That was something that was necessary for us to make the business work. And the half of the patent belonged to the Catholic University of Washington, D.C., and part of it to U.S. military, and part of this to our company. So back then, we learned to work with universities. We worked with 7 or 8 universities throughout the United States. When we came to Buffalo, one of our main reasons was actually the close relationship we could establish with University of Buffalo. Startup New York program started actually as a brilliant idea from part of Andrew Cuomo, that there's a kind of just like there's a disparity between studying and life after you finish your studies. And they want to integrate the local community and local business community in particular with the university. So they started the idea, or he came up with the idea, why not invite companies to actually establish themselves on the universities within their compound? So there was a physical relationship as well. That turned out to be the difficult part of the Startup New York program, because they didn't have space enough simply. So we are not at the compound, but we are considered part of the university, mm-hmm. where we are located in Michigan Avenue. But more important is the relationship you build with the faculties, students, and Satish has done so much for us, the chancellor of the university, to help us and to introduce us to the right people, professors, students at the university. Actually, we have several, I cannot remember exactly the number, but we have several PhDs and highly educated people working for us that come directly from University of Buffalo. And some of them start as interns with us. So for us, the cooperation between university and Back USA has been a huge part of the success story, if I can say that.
So this, it's not, it wasn't Andrew Cuomo's brainchild. This happened around the country. It was good to bring it to the United States.
But
if you look at Stanford, for example, in the Silicon Valley, I mean, this has been going on forever, but for a long time, and it really revolutionized the relationship between a university, that experience there from a financial standpoint, job creation, company creation, and it goes on and on and on to this day. Boston, for example, there's a huge number of companies that work in close relationship to the many universities there, too. I think it was an untapped resource, and I think it was very wise of Governor Cuomo to say, we got to do something here.
He put a name on it, Startup New York.
Exactly.
That's a branding thing. Mm-hmm. You can say that, because the other arrangements, they don't have the name that attract companies to participate.
You mentioned one thing earlier about the sunset of the tax exemption. One of the things that other states have used against that program is that there is no sunset, for example, in tax exemption in Texas, for example, or Florida.
No.
So how as you go on, as you get closer to that 10-year time limit, how will that affect BACUSA? And if so, or haven't you thought about that, or doesn't that matter?
It matters to our employees, because they are the ones that benefit from the Startup New York program right now. They don't pay tax to New York State. The company, we are still in the investment phase, so the tax is not really a priority. When that will happen later, maybe 2 or 3 years from now, where we actually do have the burden of tax, I would say that if you base your business in tax thinking, you are defocused from the real purpose of what you are doing.
Well, let me just stop you there, because if you look at what Mr. Golisano did, he wrote an editorial that was widely published when he decided to become a Florida resident, citing that he was going to save $13,000 a day by becoming a Florida resident. So there are people that make decisions based upon just what we're talking about here, the tax implications. Yeah. And I guess what I'm suggesting more than anything is that I don't want to see companies like yours make that kind of decision when that sunset occurs, when the tax advantage goes away. But there are compelling reasons. And also, this, just like you're saying, there's poaching, you know, unfair competition between countries and among countries. There's also the same thing going on between and among states. And oftentimes we come out on the short end of that.
But can I say the big difference?
Please.
If Tom Golisano, he's a private person. It doesn't affect his life. Actually, it's nice in Florida. Whereas if we should have the same idea as a company to move it out of Buffalo instead of New York, that would have so many implications that would actually go against that decision. We are here, we are established here, we have the people that work here, they come to the office, to the factory every day. To even think about moving our business to another tax haven, that is so far from how I look at business. So I don't think it's not even an option. But of course, I come from a country where we pay tax in a way. So, I mean, when I left, that was 1 year just after I graduated, I paid 105% in tax. And I can give you a long story about how that happened. But that was, I did it.
I can see why your wife was attracted to the United States.
Yeah. So, but on average, I think we pay more than 55% or something in Denmark now. But I don't think, and I learned that early, if you really put your focus on avoiding tax rather than run your business, that is not, in general, a sound way of running doing business.
I'm not sure it's one or the other, JP, with all due respect. I think you have to when you look at your operating statement, there's a line that says taxes. And so you have to pay attention to it if you're watching your costs. But anyway, I don't want to get sidetracked, and that's not the point of the show. What I really wanted to have you talk about was, as you already have, is why you're here, and let's look to the future. What's the next phase for BACUSA? You described this patented process, a patent pending process, which is exciting and novel. What will be the next horizon for you?
This is an interesting thing you touch upon here, because in contrary to the tax discussion, we have another way of looking at the future. For us, we would like to establish satellites in other distressed areas, in other states. Actually, we would like to establish satellites throughout the United States in strategic places. First of all, places that are close to the Microsoft centers. Secondly, we would like to establish ourselves in an area where they need job creation. And in order to really understand the ramification of that, if you look at the world today, there is a trend to kind of leave the globalization. The globalization was great years back. Now the farmer markets idea, the local produced, local distributed idea, to actually establish yourself in the environment where your customers live. And also, in order to get rid of the transportation problems and all this time-consuming stuff when you import for a country from the Far East, and also the problems with the different cultures and so forth. There is a trend right now to establish yourself in the local community. And that is, in my opinion, the future of manufacturing. The assembly lines, the robots, and all these things that actually on paper and academically, if you look at it academically, it's faster and more efficient, but it's not more efficient as far as the people that is involved, customers and your people that work with you.
I wish we had another couple hours to delve into that, because I would really like to hear more about that, because you've really brought up an entirely new way of, in my mind, of looking at this whole thing and really evaluating costs, because that's more than just taxes, as you accurately point out. J.P. Bach, Chairman and CEO of Bach USA, thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
And Samantha Pierce, PR Specialist with Bach, thank you for being with us as well.
Thanks for having us.
I'm sorry we didn't hear more from you.
Oh, that's all right. JP's the star here.
Anyway, we'll be back next week at the same time. I want to thank our listeners for being with us. And remember, when it comes to real estate, all of upstate is Hunt Country.